Leaper to Keeper, so take her to Leaper, The Rock.
Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Hite and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
We are back on Tuesday with the Morning Roundup, your hour of sports coverage in Southwest Kansas. Baylen Hite, Derek Decker with you. And that is unfortunately the last time we will be saying that phrase, on a regular basis at least, as this is Derek's last show, sitting down with us and getting you through a little bit of your morning. We're just wrapping up basketball season. We've got some football NFL notes, free agency really kicking off and getting underway yesterday with a couple of big moves, some postseason wrestling awards being handed out, and then also we've got three huge games tonight in the Region 6 playoff with junior college basketball, Dodge City men's and women's, the number one seed. They're finally in action after receiving a first-round bye. Garden City makes the trip up to Butler. We will preview all three of those games and then get you out of here with Derek's swan song, if you will. And I thought, what a better way than to honor Derek, in a sense, than making the final segment of the show a focused college basketball sequence, as we're going to take a way too early look at the NCAA tournament. I mean, however you look at it, I guess it's way too early because the official seeding has not been released and we still have most of the major conference tournaments this week. But we've got a couple of different things we're going to look at. We're going to try to pick the highest seed to make the Sweet 16, pick our four Final Four teams. One team, though, in those Final Four must be a projected four seed right now or higher. We're also going to try to decide who the conference champion will, or excuse me, the national champion will be from, which conference, and the biggest upset by seeding in the entire tournament, and then of course our national champion. Derek, does that sound okay? Does that kind of fit the mold of what you were thinking as we send you away?
Well, nobody knows me better than to get in my jam when we get talking about college basketball, because that's the best that we can get. Man, again, you know, we could just go on and on. We could do an entire show on just college basketball. So I cannot wait for the end of this show because I've already got some picks in mind. I've got some trendy picks and some not so trendy picks. So lots of things coming forward when we start to break down what could this bracket look like and who could maybe make a run for a national title. And could it be a Big 12 team maybe making a repeat? That's a question mark for later in the show.
That might be an opportunity to throw that out there. We've seen a couple of upsets in the mid-major tournaments already. I saw Hofstra went down last night. That was an interesting upset. UNC Wilmington looking to maybe make a little bit of a run and earn an automatic bid. Hofstra, a sneaky team that a lot of people were projecting, could have been a Sweet 16 team. Maybe not so much. I don't know if they're going to get that at large out of the CAA. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into our opening segment, though, looking at postseason area wrestling awards handed out. The 6A Coach of the Year in both the boys' and the girls' sides, Carlos Prado. No surprise there. Garden City's head coach, Carlos Prado, winning his third Coach of the Year honor in the last 9 years. His first on the girls' side and the third on the boys' side in a 9-year sequence. Also, the Garden City assistant coaches all earning Staff of the Year in 6A, as they are your assistant coach groupings of the year. 6A Wrestler of the Year in the boys' side, Luke Barker. Dodge City's Luke Barker there at 175. Really no surprise if you know what Barker's done and you know how great of a wrestler he's been in his 4 years at Dodge City. It's not a shock that he does, in fact, win your Wrestler of the Year. 4A through 1A on the girls' side, Lakin's Josiah Ortiz wins your Wrestler of the Year. Congratulations there. We also have a couple of other awards. Support Personnel of the Year given out to Dodge City High School's Bob Rodriguez, and also the Dodge City High School custodial staff being honored there for their hard work all season long, keeping the mats and the gym intact, ready to go for all the hosted events at Dodge City. All in all, really great showing from the area, wrapping up those awards. And, I think we're about to close the book on wrestling for the winter season. Look forward to kicking things back up late fall, early winter again next year in this hotbed that is wrestling out here in Southwest Kansas. Okay, jumping into the NFL now. We got some free agency news. We can never escape football. I'd like to remind everybody that it is always going to be around. The biggest move of the day, without a doubt, yesterday, Derek Carr officially announces he is signing, or at least it was, I said he didn't announce it, just projected. He did put out a tweet saying who dat, and so there might, that's probably enough for me to say that yes, he's in fact going to the Saints. The deal was reported around 4 years, $150 million. This makes the Saints better, right, Derek? I think, maybe.
I mean, in theory it does, but the question mark for him is obviously injury concerns. You know, you never know with Derek Carr what kind of sustenance you're going to get. So if he can stay healthy, yeah, it does make him better in theory. And I think this is a good signing for the Saints. Certainly, I don't think you could go wrong with it unless he ends up getting hurt in week four like we've seen in weeks in seasons past. But, yeah, at least on paper, it makes him a more competitive and better squad heading into 2023.
Well, when you say injuries with Derek Carr, I think it's also injuries with that offensive unit. Also, kind of some things in question. Alvin Kamara's had his off-the-field issues. Michael Thomas has been beaten up. You look at Chris Olave, it was not a clean rookie year for him. I think the skill position is definitely there and definitely loaded for Derek Carr. I just don't know how much more. Obviously, he's better than Andy Dalton. I'm not saying he's the same level as Andy Dalton. But the Saints were not that innovative on the offensive end, which is weird to see because you're used to Sean Payton obviously being there. He's with Denver now and really normally having one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. I just don't know if I saw enough from the Saints last year with the coaching staff that's in place and then what I saw from Derek Carr last year to sit here and say, okay, this is a substantial move, probably a little bit more so of a lateral move. I just don't see this being something that has me jumping up and looking at the Saints and saying, okay, they're a Super Bowl contender. In fact, I don't even think their odds moved that much next year. I'm sure they jumped up quite a bit because Derek Carr is an upgrade over Andy Dalton. But probably nothing, I don't know, nothing that really stands out to me as far as a difference in overall team and Super Bowl aspirations. I don't know. It was a good move for Derek Carr. It's going to need to be, you know, a 4 or 5 week thing for me to really establish where they're at. And I think it more wanes on the skill position health, guys like Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, than it does maybe Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think that's a really good take because when you look at this Saints team, there's just so many other question marks at other skill positions, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the off-the-field positions, the Alvin Kamara stuff, and all kinds of the other things and the problems that have plagued the Saints. And, of course, you know, they're not coached by Sean Payton anymore. So it's a different team than it has been, you know, for the better part of the last two decades. So I just think that this is a Saints team that is probably on the cusp of trying to contend and maybe make a little bit of playoff noise, but I think they're a far cry from a legitimate, you know, heavyweight power title contender coming into this season. I mean, there's a long way to go for the Saints, and a lot of things are going to have to go right for them to make a deep run in the playoffs.
I will say the one advantage of this, and maybe this is where the Saints were coming from, was that division's wide open. You look at the Falcons, you look at the Panthers, and you look at the Buccaneers. You know, who really scares you out of that group? Panthers are probably going to be picking a new quarterback. Sam Darnold looked fine, but I would expect with a new head coach, Frank Reich, being in town, that they more than likely they've been in the mix in the news to try to go after a new quarterback. So there's potential there. Falcons are kind of just in this cycle trying to figure out where they're at, not really sure what their next move is going to be. Then the Buccaneers losing Tom Brady, obviously that team is going to look very different, and there hasn't really been a motion by them to go out and grab a new quarterback. Real quick, I didn't write this down, but while we're sitting here talking about it, I mentioned the Panthers potentially drafting a quarterback. Derek, what have you seen as far as the top pick and kind of your feelings as to who might be a trade partner for the Bears, who might not be a trade partner, and what do you see this NFL draft looking like in those top four spots?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of things heat up, right, in the last few days especially. I mean, you've just got so many different things that could happen. I'm very interested to see what the Bears decide to do. And clearly there are candidates up there that would like to have the first pick. You know, you've got the Texans up there, the Colts, and I'm thinking about strictly in terms of a quarterback and what those teams need. You know, the Cardinals have probably moved away from that. We talked about that and getting rid of Cliff Kingsbury and you know, trying to keep things around. I just think that you've got so many moving pieces right now. The top pick, in my opinion, probably could be a couple of different guys. You know, when you look at this mock draft, and again, I will also say, here's one thing that bothers me, not necessarily about Todd McShay, and it's not necessarily his fault. I'm just saying, like, the mock drafts are so inaccurate. When you look at what Bracket Matrix does and other things that we predict, right, even MLB drafts, which aren't even worth projecting because there's so many different guys that could come in. I mean, you've got 20 rounds now, and that's down half of what it was and what it used to be with 40. Anyway, the whole point behind that is to say, I still think if the Bears decide to stay first, I would probably say Will Anderson is the guy. In my opinion, you're probably talking about Bryce Young and then maybe Tyree Wilson. I think that's a good pick. And then probably C.J. Stroud for the Colts. The question mark for me is more what the Texans are going to do. I think that's the most intriguing part of this draft right now, is what are the Texans going to do? Are they going to draft Bryce Young? Are they going to go with C.J. Stroud? A lot of indications point to Bryce Young. And then, of course, you had the kind of off-the-wall comments made by C.J. Stroud earlier this week. So that throws some question marks into the mix, too. So things certainly heating up here over the next couple of months ahead of the draft. And can't wait to see how it all shakes out, because it's always a very entertaining and dramatic part of the NFL season.
Look, we're from Central Indiana, or we're from Northern Indiana. We've got, at least I do, a lot of fans of the Bears in that area, and some guys I've been talking to. Bears fans very confident that the Bears are going to get kind of the King's Hall for that first pick. They believe that they're in a position, which they should. They're the first pick, and they don't need a quarterback, even though they're going to tell teams that they might be looking at quarterback because they want to up that trade value. I don't think, and I might be in the minority here with the rest of what kind of the media pundits are thinking, that the Bears have as much leverage as everybody thinks. I mean, you have two teams in the top four who don't need a quarterback. That's the Bears and the Cardinals. They might look at a quarterback and say they're going to look at a quarterback, but they're fine with letting whoever wants to trade up and go after a quarterback, and then they just drop down a couple of picks and take the defensive guys, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter in that conversation, Tyree Wilson as well. But I just think that the Colts are a team that, even though they're at the fourth, are in a position, in my opinion, that is just as good as being there in the first spot, unless there is a team, let's say the Falcons back at eight, maybe even the Panthers at nine, want to trade all the way up and go in a guy that they believe in. Because you look at even the top 15, which you would without a doubt be giving up your first this year, your first next year, to get that number one overall pick. There's not a lot of teams in that mix that really need a quarterback. And I hear all the rumors, and I know there's been the report. The Bears are, you know, they're about to make the deal. The Texans might be on the clock. You know, the Colts might be on the clock next week as far as the first pick. I don't think there's as much weight in that first pick because of the way the draft ended up this year and the amount of, I would say, great quarterbacks. I think there's four really solid guys. Some, you know, strengths over weaknesses. I think you go Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. That's kind of how I would rank those four guys. But I think if you're the Colts, the Texans, you're totally okay with grabbing a guy like Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. And I don't think you have to necessarily move up to get them because of the way the draft in the top five shakes out. Also, keep in mind Seattle. They just did sign Geno Smith to a three-year deal yesterday. That was announced, but quarterbacks are tough to get, and they made the comment that, hey, you know, we've got the Broncos pick there at five, and we're certainly thinking about going after a quarterback as well.
No, I think that's a really good point, because when you take this whole draft class into perspective, we have not seen a quarterback class this good in a while, and I agree with you. I think this is a really solid class. I would probably switch around Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. I'd probably put Richardson ahead of Levis, but that's a moot point. All four of those guys are probably top 10 picks. And I just think it's curious to see, you know, a lot of folks have pinned C.J. Stroud for a long time going to the Colts. And yeah, I'm kind of focusing on the Colts here, but also bringing in Bryce Young to the conversation. Do you think there's a scenario that the Texans don't go with Bryce Young? I mean, there have been ties from minute number one about Bryce Young going to the Texans, and that basically leaves C.J. Stroud, which, again, certainly on paper seems like the best of the next three. When you, if you were to stack up Richardson, Levis, and Stroud, it certainly seems like Stroud has an advantage on both of those guys, although they're all three capable quarterbacks. But do you see any scenario, let's just focus on the top two guys, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, assuming the draft position and order stays the way it is, that any different scenario than Young goes to the Texans and Stroud goes to the Colts?
The only way that happens is if there's a significant shakeup by a mystery team, in my opinion, that jumps up ahead of those teams, that really changes the way the draft is looked at, 1 through 10. That's the only way I really see that happening. Because like I said, right now with the Bears, if you're the Texans, I don't know why you necessarily need to trade up other than to keep teams that are trying to go after those guys away. You're certainly keeping right. your ear to the ground. You're certainly listening to see what the Bears are being offered and trying to figure out how the Bears are countering off or your offer or whatever that might be. But if you get within a week or two, and we still have a ways to go, obviously April's the draft, and you're just not hearing a lot, even though there's been, you know, rumors being put out there, and that's what good GMs are going to do. Ryan Poles for the Bears is going to put that out there. He's going to say, yeah, we're fielding offers like crazy. I mean, we can't stop fielding offers. But I don't buy that there's as much weight in this first pick this year because the Bears don't necessarily need a quarterback and because the Cardinals there at three don't need a quarterback. You've already put a ton of money into Kyler Murray. I don't see you abandoning that project, creating more drama around the situation. Just try to improve your team from the inside out, and that starts at the offensive and defensive lines. I think that, you know, any of those three guys, Anderson, Carter, or Wilson, is an immediate impact for a team. All those guys, defensive players. So that's my only way that I see this changing, is if there's a mystery team outside of the Texans, Colts, and we'll say the Raiders and Panthers. I think those are the four most quarterback needy teams in the top 10. The Falcons are interesting, but I don't know what the Falcons are going to do because the team is not great at all areas. And if you get a quarterback, that can certainly change things. But like of those four teams I just mentioned, I think the only three that are really in a position to improve their overall roster with a quarterback because of what's out there are the Texans, Colts, and Panthers. I think the Falcons just have too many holes that putting a new quarterback in that position already, with, by the way, a pretty good quarterback class coming up next year and the following year, it might be a little bit of an oversell for the Falcons, but who knows? I mean, at this point, we really don't know. So that's my long-winded answer to that short question.
Yeah, and in terms of the quarterback class, you also are correct in not just this year being good. The next couple of years are going to be good. And I think the NFL draft is always more entertaining and intriguing to the public eye, to both the casual fans and the diehard fans, and just the league as a whole, when the quarterback classes are good. And again, it's been a couple of years since we've seen a really strong, deep quarterback class, so that makes things a little bit spicy going into this year's NFL draft.
We'll see. I don't know. I'd love the Colts to end up with C.J. Stroud and not have to give up a Kings Hall for it. I really would. And I think that it'd be nice to be right. Let's just put it that way. If, in fact, the Bears do not, you know, what do I want to say? If, in fact, the Bears don't get a big haul, because the Bears, look, my roommates were Bears fans. They know who they are. If they are listening, they're probably not. But I love the aggression, love the passion for the Chicago Bears, but I just don't think it's going to happen. They would so badly love to get the Colts and take all their assets for that top pick, but I don't think Chris Ballard's going to do it. I really don't, unless his hand is pulled, whether that's Jim Irsay making an overplay or someone else, like I said, a mystery team jumping up to that top pick and making the Colts seriously think about it. That's how I feel in the situation. I don't know if things are going to change, but that's where I'm at right now, sitting here on March 7th. Okay, a couple more notes. Chiefs not going to franchise tag Orlando Brown. That was a bit of a development after last season. They did franchise tag the left tackle, and they plan to release Frank Clark. A bit of a surprise, but Clark's starting to get up there in age, and he's probably going to be worth way too much money than the Chiefs are going to be willing or able to pay there to Frank Clark. Seahawks, already mentioned this, did sign Geno Smith to a 3-year deal. It's not a full commitment, but it's enough money for Geno, and I think enough for him to say to this point in the career, I'm happy with that after his career year with Seattle. And then also Tony Pollard is franchise tagged, the running back, despite the injury for the Dallas Cowboys. So Tony Pollard getting a nice little chunk of change there to stick with the Dallas Cowboys, and now that certainly brings Ezekiel Elliott's future into question. Derek, anything else that you saw, maybe some news notes or just about those guys in general that we just mentioned that really stood out to you from this first frenzy of a day of free agency?
No, I think you hit most of the big ones. I just it's always entertaining to see how things start to evolve this time of year because all the pieces start to move. I thought the Derek Carr news was a little bit surprising, and we've seen that floated out there as a possibility. I think certainly that's the biggest news of the day when it comes to what the Saints do and if they're going to be a legitimate team to watch. I think going back to that conversation briefly, you also brought up a good point that division is going to be pretty much wide open. So I think the Saints are doing the right thing. It seems like the right move on paper. Of course, we said the same thing about Russ when he went to the Broncos last year, and that certainly didn't work out. Has the potential to work out, I guess, this year. New coach, obviously Sean Payton comes into the mix, but I just don't know if that is ever going to really recover after such a disaster this year. But no, I think Derek Carr could make the Saints a little bit better, and that was the headliner of the day without question when it comes to the first day of free agent frenzy in the NFL, and the offseason continues to roll along. And Baylen, and I know, you know, it's kind of hard to dispute this take, and it's something that a lot of folks share. It's certainly not a unique opinion, but the NFL does a better job than any other league keeping fan interest and media interest in the offseason. It is structured so well to keep that interest up year-round, hence why we're talking about it on the morning show this week.
It's incredible. It really is. I mean, we're sitting here in March, and we still have a long way to go before the preseason games kick off in late August, early September, and we're fully locked in. We didn't even mention, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. Those are the two guys that are in limbo right now as far as the big-name quarterbacks available. I don't think there's anyone else out there that is really in question now. Geno Smith, like I said, he's signed up. Derek Carr is signed up. And it's just maybe more so waiting on the draft at this point. I think the Jets are probably all in on Aaron Rodgers now. Who knows? I don't know. I would love to see Lamar Jackson go somewhere else. I really would. I'm a bit tired of kind of the Baltimore Ravens just dancing around the topic. I know you're not as big of a fan of Lamar Jackson, Derek, as far as, you know, what he's done, but I certainly think that he's a franchise-changing player, regardless of you know, where you want to rank him amongst quarterbacks. And I would like to see that talent somewhere else other than the Baltimore Ravens, because I'm kind of tired of the game at this point and would love a franchise that is very quarterback needy to go out and get a guy like Lamar Jackson.
Well, you know I'm a Lamar Jackson hater. There's really no way around it. I am actually a hater. I don't hate the guy. I mean, I think he's fine. It's about his play. I think he's overrated as a quarterback. I think he has been his entire career. This guy has, you know, had a solid defense for the bulk of his career. The Ravens have done weird things with him. I think he's also been misused. I think that's part of it. So it's not all in Lamar Jackson, but I think people that make him out, I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I do not think he is in the top five, six quarterbacks in the league. I just don't think so. And I don't think there really ever has been a point where he has been in the top five quarterbacks in the league. To me, he's not elite. He's a good quarterback. He's absolutely a starting quarterback in this league, and he can make a different team really good. But he's not the type of game-changing player that you need to be considered an elite quarterback, in my opinion. Although I would like to see him go somewhere else, because that would up the intrigue for me to see how he does in a different system, because he's sat pretty much his entire career in Baltimore, sitting there, and the way things have gone there haven't always been good for the Ravens.
Love him at the Commanders. That division would be so much fun if they were able to get a quarterback. Boy, could you imagine a guy like Lamar Jackson going to Washington and just kind of setting up the events? You get Daniel Jones in New York. You would have, obviously, Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts with Lamar Jackson. What a division the NFC East would become. Hey, we got to get to our first break this morning. We're going to go ahead and do that right now. Going to jump back out on the other end. We'll have your junior college playoff preview tonight. Dodge City men and women's are hosting both as number one teams. We'll talk about those matchups. And then Garden City tries to keep its Cinderella run alive in Butler, at Butler, I should say, just north of Wichita there. We'll talk about what that means and why that will have to stop and break a really long-standing trend as Butler, one of the top teams at home in the Jayhawk Conference. That much more coming up next. Also, college basketball look ahead for the NCAA tournament. You're listening to the Morning Roundup live on 99.9 The Rock.